The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I'm a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be reading about how paramagnetic rim lesions show promise as diagnostic markers of multiple sclerosis. Inflammatory lesions within the brain, called paramagnetic rim lesions, visible on imaging scans, may improve the accuracy of a multiple sclerosis diagnosis, especially when used in combination with other imaging-based biomarkers, a study reported. If corroborated in larger future studies, these white matter lesions may serve as an early diagnostic biomarker. The study, Paramagnetic Rim Lesions Are Specific to Multiple Sclerosis, an international multi-center 3T MRI study, was published in the journal Annals of Neurology. Accurate and early diagnosis is critical in MS, where certain treatments can offer profound health benefits, but misdiagnoses can run as high as 20%. Two potential biomarkers that can be measured non-invasively by MRI are brain lesions caused by inflammation, called central vein sign, and paramagnetic rim lesions. CVS is gaining acceptance as a biomarker for MS, while how specific PRL, found in over 50% of MS cases, is to MS is not well known. An international team of researchers reviewed MRI records covering 329 people with MS and 83 people with non-MS neuroinflammation, looking for how frequently PRL occurred between the two. Of the MS cases, 7 were diagnosed with clinically isolated syndrome, 226 with relapsing remitting MS, and 96 with progressive MS. The researchers detected PRL in 172 MS patients and in 6 of the non-MS cases. Among those with MS, at least one paramagnetic rim lesion was found in 58% of the progressive cases and in 50% of the relapsing cases. The number of these positively correlated with disability severity scores as measured by the Expanded Disability Status Scale, meaning the higher the number of PRLs, the greater was the patient's disability level. Although PRL detection appeared highly specific to MS, it did not prove to be highly sensitive, meaning that it did not always correctly identify those without MS. By comparison, the specificity and sensitivity of using central vein sign as a diagnostic biomarker were 96% and 99% respectively. Combining the two biomarkers improved overall specificity to 99%, but sensitivity remained low. Still, the research team noted that this combination might prove useful in two specific scenarios. First, in cases where MS is suspected, but MRI finds few CVS lesions. Second, in cases with a high frequency of CVS lesions, but where MS is not suspected. PRL detection might prove a valuable tool in the differential diagnostic workup, especially for improving diagnostic specificity, the researchers wrote. Future prospective multi-center studies should further validate its role as a diagnostic biomarker.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Ed Tobias.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses. one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
I'm patient columnist Ed Tobias with some news and comments from the MS Wire. The manufacturer of Copaxone is the target of a U.S. Justice Department lawsuit, and the outcome could affect many of us who receive copay help for our medications. The legal case involves the interaction between pharmaceutical companies and nonprofit organizations that provide grants to people who need help paying for their treatments. For example, when I couldn't afford the monthly copay for Aubagio several years ago, I qualified for a $6,000 foundation grant. It covered my copay for a year. Specifically, the Justice Department is eyeing two Teva Pharmaceutical subsidiaries that donate funds to two foundations that in turn provide grants like the one I received. So you might ask, what's the problem with that? It's complicated. If you have commercial drug insurance, a pharmaceutical company is allowed to help you pay either part or all of your insurance copay. But that's prohibited for people receiving Medicare. For Medicare patients, drug companies must provide their medication free of charge, or they can't provide any financial help at all. In those cases, people may be forced to turn to a foundation for copay help. In the complaint that it filed a few weeks ago, the Justice Department accused the two Teva subsidiaries of skirting this copay restriction by donating to foundations, and then using them as conduits to pay the part of the copay that the pharmaceutical companies aren't allowed to pay directly. According to the complaint, Teva's intent was to ensure that Copaxone users never had to pay very much, if anything, for their medication. That induced patients, including those on Medicare, to use Copaxone. And that, government prosecutors allege, violates a federal anti-kickback statute. Teva has vowed to fight the lawsuit, issuing a statement saying the case brought by the Department of Justice only seeks to further restrict patients' access to important medications and health care. The federal government has been probing the legality of the patient assistance programs of several pharmaceutical companies since at least 2018. The Wall Street Journal has reported that this includes direct copay assistance, donations to foundations, and even those programs that make nurses available around the clock to answer patients' questions on the telephone. The journal named Sanofi and Biogen as two of several pharmaceutical manufacturers whose programs were being looked at. Sanofi makes Aubagio and Lemtrada. Biogen makes Tysabri, Avonex, Tecfidera, and Plegridy. Is this lawsuit good or bad? There are two sides to this coin. Do the pharma companies use their programs to push their own products? Sure. Do their patient services push up the cost of already expensive medications? Probably, at least to some extent. But would more or fewer patients be able to afford these treatments if the assistance programs were eliminated, and in exchange the actual price of the medications was lowered significantly? I don't know. What do you think? You can share your views in the forum section of the MS News Today website.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.